solutions for cities. But in the low to no is also the idea of a transition, meaning that our current cities, the ones we live in, we're in the West, are full of legacy, and you can't just switch them off and suddenly make zero carbon cities. So part of the challenge is first defining what is zero carbon, and then how do we transition our cities through low carbon to no carbon. So this is the fundamental, so let's say, vision. I'll talk about it from a kind of big picture and end my presentation with some very concrete questions that we're trying to address right now in the project. I also like to recognize we have two people from Experientia who are some of our key design partners here. We're dealing with the consumer behavioral aspect, which, as you've already heard, is a kind of strategic dimension on projects like this. I'll say a few words about the organization I represent. I'm trained as an architect, but when we talk about strategic design, frequently we may think it's the worst possible word combination, meaning that design these days is a bit of everything and nothing, and strategy is what everybody does. But what it tries to capture is the idea that design in a very traditional way, perhaps stereotypical way, is perceived as giving shape to products. Whereas design now needs to also complement that ability by shaping decision making. And so ultimately what I do is apply design in the conversations about decision making. And I come from an organization called the Finnish Innovation Fund. We're a government agency. We're an independent sovereign fund, you could say. We're about 750 million euros. We report to Parliament, but we have our own endowment which allows us to actually take a long-term perspective on investment and risks. So we're not politically motivated, and we have a mission to help Finland become more competitive. So I think this is an interesting aspect, because in this quest for becoming more sustainable at city and national levels, we also have to think of the kind of governance and innovation infrastructure that we have, and what are the kinds of agencies that we actually have to create or change to make those things possible. Who is going to de-risk making new? Because nobody wants to do new things, believe me. So somebody has to de-risk. And when we're talking about national issues, there has to be an agency or an agent that can help de-risk that. So our closest partner in the UK, actually globally, would be Nesta, as a kind of model for those who are familiar. All right, so I'm going to talk about many things that you've heard already, but perhaps frame them in a slightly different way. Cities, we've heard already the growing role of cities, but a particular way to package this is to say that if you took all the cities in the world into one big lump, they represent less than 1% of the surface area of the world. And yet this fraction of the surface area of the world is responsible for 75% of energy consumption globally and 80% of greenhouse gases. Now you can stop for that for a second and you immediately realize that the way you define a city has to go beyond bricks and mortars. We're not talking about necessarily just embodied carbon. We're not just talking about the energy of heat buildings or transportation. We're talking about the consumption pattern of cities. And that has everything to do with what you put in your mouth to the decisions about how you operate in your environment. And that then ties the land outside of the cities to support these cities. Hence, you come to these figures. But what's important to realize is that you can, if you can affect the consumption patterns of cities, this minuscule fraction of the world, you can impact very big questions. So cities are very strategic because of this. So I think there's two basic paths, strategies for city development. And one of them is represented by developments like Masdar that are starting from scratch. And so if you look at China, this is a guesstimate, 20, 30 new cities this year, perhaps. How many new cities in Europe? I'm going to venture to say zero. So our challenge in Europe is very different from the Masdar challenge. And I think we need to actually begin to address more and more, how do you take legacy-ridden cities and actually bring them on a pathway to zero carbon? And this is our focus, is trying to develop a model for that. And in so doing, is actually applying that model also to the city block development in Helsinki, which is sort of where we learn and develop. So the other question with this is, if there are these two tracks, one is, what is zero carbon if you start from scratch? And what is it in, let's say, Europe, where you have legacy? What is the right scale then? And you can deal with these things at a scale, for example, an apartment unit, which is, let's say, relatively easy, but it's extremely volatile, meaning that if ownership changes, those decisions and commitments to something may change on a dime. It's also a very difficult scale to scale up on. The city is the ideal scale to affect, but we know that making changes at a city scale level is very, very heavy, inertia ridden. So I think that the city block and the district scale is the right kind of scale to work at, where you can address issues that are the scale of the city, and you have enough critical mass to actually address fundamental underlying principles of sustainability that have to do with mixed use, that have to do with a certain kind of density, with a kind of efficiency of infrastructure. Without the volatility of the individual person, and without the inertia of trying to change the whole city at once. So we're at a city scale block. And this is actually the part of town that we're working in right now. And that little red dot, which always changes in, from presentation to presentation, is in a kind of relative position. This is where our block is gonna be. And what our block ultimately is we're developing this block with two partners. One is SRB, who is a fairly traditional developer that develops apartments to sell. And then we have BVO, which is a subsidized government sort of development entity that develops apartments for rental. So they have a long-term perspective and an ownership perspective on it. Very different kinds of ownership when we come to this. And we are a government fund, as I said, of about 120 people, and we're looking to relocate our offices there too. So we have a mixed use. We're gonna have about 200 apartments. We're gonna have retail, shops, services on site, and we'll have our office building supporting about 120 with a small sort of business incubator aspect. I'll get to the details of it, but keep in mind that the low to no approach is developing a block, but it's also understanding what is the model for development that then can be replicable. And this comes back to our mission, is to find solutions that are replicable. In 20 years, if we developed one city block and that's all we've done, we've failed. But if in 20 years, developing that block has allowed us to change codes, laws, ways of doing business that have affected change in Finland, then we've succeeded in our mission. So what you see beyond this line where there's the question mark about cities is Helsinki, and that's sort of downtown Helsinki. The area that you're seeing right there is, as you can see, a shipping freight part of the harbor. Which about a year and a half ago was cleared completely as Helsinki opened a newer and more modern shipping center right outside of the city. So in a very, let's say, rare scenario, Helsinki got a lot of free land right downtown. We're talking within walking distance. And this whole area is being developed. We have one city block in it. Very quickly, a few facts. This is not a demonstration project. It may be semantics to you, but we're quite keen on saying that. Frequently, demonstration projects are set up to demonstrate that something is possible. What we're trying to do with the project is actually change the ecosystem of how things are delivered so that a new pathway lives. Right? And this is perhaps unique in our ability, for example, to try to promote new laws, to try to change building regulations that are actually barriers to achieving some sustainable objectives. About 22,000 square meters of development, it's about a 60 million euro investment, and as you can see, it has a mixed use aspect of it. We're looking to go into permitting for this in September and to break ground probably October, November, with a completion in 2013. All right, we ran a competition, and I'll talk about the competition very briefly in just a second, but our critical aspect on a competition end is actually find an integrated team that can deal with all the aspects of sustainability. Getting back to the city question, it's not just about bricks and mortars, it's not just about infrastructure, it's not just about energy policy, but it's about consumption patterns. What is the integrated team that can actually deliver a comprehensive understanding of the solution? And we ended up with Eric Sauerbrücken from Berlin, delivering the architecture and experientia. Some of the members are in here from Turin, who are bringing the consumer behavioral aspect. And this is the kind of image vision of the block from their competition entry. So what is low to no when we really think about it in terms of what we're doing with the block right now? It's fundamentally two things. One is actually understanding what is sustainable, in our case, zero carbon urban development. What is the DNA? What makes a development zero carbon? And in this case, we talk about the architecture of the solution. And the second thing that I'll talk on for a few minutes is then how do we develop a transitional strategy to change our cities towards this path? So let's talk a second about the architecture of the solution, and in a certain way, fairly simple way. I always started off with a very basic question, well, what is sustainable development? And it certainly has an aspect about the environment. It has architecture. You have to have the capacity to actually shape the environment. It has energy policy. You have to have an understanding of energy policy. You have to understand in Finland why we have driven a policy of nuclear power when the rest of the world hasn't, and how that affects the kind of energy that's available and the limitations and opportunities within that. So you have to have a deep understanding, contextual understanding of energy policy. You also have to obviously have a very good handle on planning. In Finland, we love zero energy homes, but zero energy homes are fairly ridiculous if they're not planned correctly. If I live 1,000 kilometers from work and my house is zero energy, all of that benefit in energy reduction is undermined by my daily transportation to work, right? So these questions are all interconnected. Same with business and same with consumer behavior, right? If I make behavioral choices, day-to-day choices about eating beef or certain kinds of products or certain kinds of services, the impact of that might actually overshadow any of the benefits of a highly graded window, for example. And when one understands the solution as an architecture of solutions, one actually has to understand which things are driving what. So the solution for us is actually the intersection of this, and hence you have to actually form integrated teams. Now I'll say probably, and some of my colleagues in the room can speak probably more personally, but it's not easy, right? Because we have certain kinds of well-established ways of working. Who traditionally runs a building project, right? Who is serving the lead on that? What are the roles and relationships? What things govern the decision about a space, for example? So when you put new teams together, you're also changing the way that we're used to delivering solutions. But this is work that needs to happen. And here is just a quick diagram, understanding that there are things that are going to happen on site. There's our city block. Things that happen at the district level, which is called Jätkäsaari, this harbor area, and things that deal with off-site, how energy is produced, incentives that are associated with it. All right, let's come to the second point, which is a transitional strategy. Quite simply, I'll just boil this down. It's about de-risking. As I said, nobody really wants to do anything new, because new things bring about things that we've never actually been able to understand, or perhaps have done, or perhaps can benchmark. So we have to figure out what are the things that need to be de-risked. Right? Sometimes there are costs. So a developer will say, that's great, I like PV, but it's an additional cost. I usually don't do it. So who is going to help me de-risk that? Others may actually be working with an integrated team. Well, this is a new design pathway. Who's going to help me actually, in a way, de-risk working in a process that I'm not that familiar with? It may have to do with codes, changing codes. How do you de-risk the idea that in Finland we have to change our fire codes for wood to allow for wood to become a major component in our building decisions? So to give you a little bit of sense of what's happening actually on the ground, this is our city block. Sorry, I'm not very good on this laptop, but you can see right here. We have apartment buildings for sale, these two. Subsidized housing also. And then this is a VBO building, which is going to be for rental. And this is our headquarter over here, these three floors right here. And on top of it, we have what we're calling a business incubator, meaning businesses that work with us that are beginning to become independent. We have certain aspects to the project which are quite interesting. We have basically a greenhouse here for food, on-site food production. We have, you can see a very diagrammatic outline of the different services and businesses that are there. But we basically have a whole business concept around this where we're bringing in restaurants that are low carbon and local food. We're bringing in a cafe that's going to be at the corner, that's going to be right here at the corner of our building that is also organic and local. We're bringing in a grocery store that is in the same line and venue. We're also bringing a public sauna. You have to understand that saunas in Finland, which is a very traditional way of bathing basically, has been on a private trajectory, meaning that everybody now has them in their own home. They're electric and they're huge energy sinks. Right? You heat them for several hours just to use them for half an hour. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to restore what in Helsinki has happened as, and previously, communal saunas much more energy efficient in terms of the use of the energy, but also bringing a kind of social dimension back to the city. So we have that. That's in conjunction with a greenhouse, so that we can then actually use some of the excess energy heat production to heat the greenhouse. We also have a eco laundry service on site. There's one company in Helsinki that does laundering services that are ecologically based, recycling water, et cetera, so we can bring those on site. There's many kind of business aspects. There's a bicycle repair shop there that can actually support using bicycles to come to work, and the use of bicycles in terms of mobility questions, right? So there's a whole business concept that's coming there, and one of the big questions is, how do we ensure that the ideology of this business platform that's supporting all the energy solutions here is actually sustainable? I won't get into the details of it, but we're trying to form a kind of business entity that could manage this, that actually has a kind of guiding principles that define what kinds of businesses can operate on the business, on the premise and not. These are all very difficult questions that tie what kinds of consumer decision services you bring on site, how does that tie to a business model, ultimately with partners that are developers and looking to make money. It's not an easy mix, but it's certainly very feasible. I'll just very quickly, two slides, some of the things that we're actually doing. Now I want to stop on a couple questions that are actually some of the challenges. So, very simply, how do you do zero carbon? Without getting into details, one is you maximize energy efficiency of the building. So we're trying to do this. That means being as efficient in terms of the massing of the building, being as efficient in terms of the technical solutions you put in the building. Quite simple. We're also doing EPBD, which is a kind of maybe not so transparent way to say that there is a European directive that's coming on board very soon that is about building performance. And in 10 years, this is going to go live, and it's basically going to require all new construction to have, depending on how countries are going to interpret this, about 15% on-site electrical energy production, which basically means PVs. So it's going to mean in 10 years that all new construction is going to have to make 15% of their electrical electricity on-site. We want to do this 10 years before. There's many, many reasons for that. One is because we can actually lower carbon right now with it, but we can be ahead of the curve in terms of learning what that means from a business perspective. And when it comes online, our partners can be sort of first in on the market. We're also working with the grid provider, which is basically Helsinki Energy, which is district heating and cooling, to say, what is it that this project can do with its critical mass to actually change the way that energy is produced from being coal-based right now to actually being sort of more carbon neutral. Huge aspect that is consumer behavior, as you can see in the service aspect, but also in terms of how people make energy decisions. So right now we're looking at the kinds of interfaces and energy management systems that can help people make decisions about, for example, when do I run my dishwasher, understanding where peak costs are occurring and peak carbon is occurring. Minimizing car dependency and other aspects in there. One thing you have to realize, the development is highly integrated with a very good public transportation system already, so that's not a lever that we can really use here. Whereas say in the US, a lot of developments actually start with that basic principle. Right? So a few very quickly challenges. One is embedded energy and materials. So this has been a big, big question for us. Our developers who are perhaps a little more, let's say, risk averse in terms of trying new things, are taking a concrete approach, which is very energy intensive, but we're trying to figure out how we can reduce carbon in concrete. Right? Less concrete, more energy efficient concrete. May seem an oxymoron to some of you, but it actually there is a pathway there, but it's an efficiencies pathway. We actually made a decision for our own building aspect of this that we're going to do wood building, completely wood building, because of its carbon, embodied carbon, meaning that it's a carbon sink. And then we manage our forests quite well locally, meaning when we use that carbon, sink that carbon in our building, new trees grow that absorb more carbon from the environment. So in terms of thinking about its carbon impact, it is a pretty big lever to use. Now, the reality on the field is in Finland, you can't build buildings beyond four stories that are made out of wood. The codes weren't permitted. So we've been pushing very much for changes in fire codes, and there has been a process now that has made that possible. Now you can do, I believe, seven-story buildings. But in the draft proposal are little details, and the devil's always in the details, where this is how you do it, or you can do a performance-based way of doing it. And basically, performance-based doesn't allow you to use fire sprinklers and other standard ways of actually proving that the building out of wood is safe. Right? So right now, the way that the draft of the fire regulations is written up basically says, yes, you can do it, but if you do it, you have to cover all your wood up, which is obviously a carbon drain, but it's also a cost drain, and it also doesn't make much sense for people who want to build out of wood to cover all the wood up. So, I'll just end up this in a second. But so the key is actually getting to how codes are written and having the levers to actually change some of them. Another key aspect we're doing right now is to shift the conversation from cost to investment. A developer will think about all the things you need to do as additional costs. But are there things we can do as a kind of three-part pro forma of the three investments and think about how our investments can enable other investments in their project? The other thing in Finland we have is professional sub-optimization. We have the best indoor air quality. We have the best acoustics regulations in buildings, the best lighting regulations in buildings. But when you put it all together, it doesn't make the best building. And it makes it very difficult to actually take steps back to rethink what you have to rethink in terms of air indoor quality or lighting performance to actually enable bigger gains. This is a big challenge that's a Finnish challenge. Public procurement, I won't get into it, but it becomes very, very difficult when you have integrated solutions that are at the core of what we're doing. And then the last thing I'll end on, which is really understanding the cultural role of design. I'll just boil this down in our context to the Finns wondering why we always have to talk so much about things. When you're in a consensus-driven culture like Finland, what you're really trying to find is what is everyone willing to agree on, and you just float that idea. But when you're trying to define new ideas, you're going to have very different opinions about them, and you have to understand each other's opinions and perspectives to basically not drive a consensus, but actually drive an understanding about principles. After that, you can have consensus. So doing this is not a technology project. It's ultimately about the cultural significance of design and all the barriers that might be legislative, codes, practice issues that then surround this. I'll end on that. And hopefully you'll come to Helsinki in 2013 and see what a low carbon building looks like. Thank you.